The reading is from Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, make our hearts receptive to hear your words, and Lord, give us courage to act out what we hear today. In the name of Jesus, amen. For some of you, know me well, some of you come to our lunch club. I like this because I can wander around. It's good, isn't it? I haven't got one of these at home. Some of you don't know me at all. Some of you have seen me around, I'm sure. I'll give you a quick snapshot of who I am. I was born at a very early age. I then went on and grew up, and my mother and father were Salvation Army ministers for a short period of time. So I went, before my last two schools, I went to 13 schools and different places: Argentina, Liverpool, Goldthorpe in Yorkshire, North Wales. So you could say I've been around a bit in a nice sort of way. And I finished school and did an apprenticeship in engineering, so I'm a fully qualified manual engineer. And I went to Program Computers. There's any engineers in the building, they'll know what I'm on about. Computers, numerically controlled, they're called. And then I got the call upon my life from God when I was about 25, I suppose. God said to me, "What are you doing with your life, Steve?" And I said, "Well, not a lot," but I was quite happy at the time. And I had a little barter with God that I would take Christianity more seriously. I would start to see what it was all about. And actually, when I opened my eyes, he taught me. When I listened to him, I received from him like I never had before. And God marked my life at that time. And the next few years, I prepared through my church for, I felt a call to ministry, and I prepared for a few years until I went to Salvation Army Bible College in 2000. I'm married, been married for 22 years. No, I know I don't look old enough, but it's true. I've got 3 daughters, so I'm well outnumbered in my house. I can never leave the toilet seat up. They always know it's me. I don't know how that is. And I've got a 17-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. I don't get a say in anything. Okay? I just sit there, and I drive the car. All I get now is, "Dad, can you pick me up? Dad, can you take me here?" So typical for a father, I suppose, of 3 girls. So went to South Summer Training College when I was 31. And then got 2 years later, got ordained and commissioned as a Salvation Army minister. You get commissioned as a lieutenant, and then after a few years, you get an extra pip. The problem is to say the more pips, the bigger the lemon. So I think I'll stay as I am. And Yeah, I got appointed then with my wife, who's also an ordained Salvation Army minister, exactly the same as me, to the Cardiff Ely Estate. We did 5 years there. Then we did 2 years in the centre of Newport. And then we've done nearly 5 years in Penarth. So I don't think we've got much longer here. We get appointed a bit like the military, really. We get a letter that comes on the door and says, you're off. And but my middle daughter is doing last year of school, so we've got a year reprieve, which is quite good. Now, I've been asked to speak for about 55 to 65 minutes this morning. Did I get the wrong email? That's fine. Okay, thank you. We know who to blame. Our Father, who art in heaven. We know that back to front, don't we? We learnt that either from our parents, or from Sunday school, or maybe even from our school assemblies. And there are still some schools, praise the Lord, who still do the Lord's Prayer. And I've done quite a bit. I used to get 11 schools when I was in Ely. I do a few schools here and in Barry now. And a few of them catch you out. You say amen at the end, and they all start doing the Lord's Prayer. Fantastic. But you don't hear that often. But most people would have come across the Lord's Prayer, wouldn't we? But do you think it could be a bit too familiar, though? Do you think we just recite it? We know, it becomes like a routine, doesn't it? If we're not very, very careful, it just rolls off the tongue so easily, doesn't it? But do we actually understand what we're saying? Now, I'm not doing the whole of the Lord's Prayer. You'll be aware. I think you had your introduction last week to the Lord's Prayer. Is that correct? And now you're going to get little snippets for the next few weeks. So, Our Father, who art in heaven, is the bit that I'm going to look at this morning. And hopefully we're going to glean some truths about God and about ourselves from what we learn through me from God today. You see, prayer links us in the right way to God. It puts us in this conversation with him. Now, if we were not to pray, okay, it would be a bit like getting married, okay, where you walk up to the altar and you say your vows with your loved one, and then you go home and you never speak again. Some of you would say that would be wedded bliss. But that's what it would be like. And, your relationship's not going to grow, is it? You're not going to move on together in life if you never talk to each other, if you never have a conversation with each other. And if anything, I think the relationship's probably going to take a step backwards rather than forwards over a period of time. And that's the same with God. We need to convene. We need to have a conversation with God. We need to chat with him. We need to talk with him for our relationship to go anywhere. If we don't pray, our relationship is going backwards and we are going nowhere fast. That's one of the reasons why Jesus put so much emphasis, and Luke, on prayer throughout the Bible. All the time, talking about praying, going away to pray, going to one side, going into the desert, always to have a conversation with his Father. So, Our Father, who art in heaven. I looked up the dictionary definition, real scholar, got my dictionary out, and it says in the Concise Chambers Dictionary, a male parent, an ancestor or a forefather, a title of respect to priests or monks, and then a definition waffles on then and ends up with Father Christmas. But I think when we're talking about our Heavenly Father, none of those descriptions or definitions really work, do they? There's something missing from all those descriptions about God. And I think it's because they're just not big enough, are they? They're not big enough descriptions of God, and it really does simplify the word Father. And we sing a song in our church, and your youngsters may sing it here. Have we made our God too small, too small? Have we made our God too small? He made the heavens and earth, and he reigns on high. Yet he's got the time for you and I. Have we made our God too small? I think we do sometimes, You see, what the dictionary definition of Father misses out is the whole concept of experience. An experience of Father. Jesus called God Father, and with this name, Jesus swept away all other attempts there were to really name God. And God has some pretty big names, isn't he? Especially in the Old Testament, names like the First Cause, the Creator, the Almighty One, the Rock, the Master, Yahweh, the Omnipotent One. That's great, isn't it? Omnipotent One. The Preserver of all things. But these names just can't compare to Jesus' simple appeal to our Father, who art in heaven. Now this word Father can be used in one of two ways. It can be used in the sense of paternity. It simply means somebody who is responsible for the birth of a child. In this case, there is no connection between the father and child except a physical dimension. And a man can be a father of the child, yet have never set eyes on that child. But the word father can also be used in the sense of fatherhood. In this sense, it describes a relationship of love, of intimacy, of confidence and trust between a father and a child. It takes into account experience. When we say to God, our Father, it's not simply paternity that we're thinking about. It's with this far closer relationship of fatherhood. When Jesus taught his disciples this prayer which we recite today, it had a really special relevance for them in that time. Because as Jews, they were used to the concept of the fatherhood of God. God is referred to as a father 14 times in the Old Testament. And here's just a couple. Jeremiah 31 says, I am a father to Israel. Deuteronomy 32, is not he your father who created you, who made you and established you? And Isaiah 64, yet, O Lord, thou art our father. We are the clay, you art the potter. We are all the work of your hands. But in these quotes that I've just read from the Old Testament, the term father always referred to a nation. It referred to a group of people. But when Jesus taught us in his prayer, he taught us to pray our Father with reference to a personal Father. You see, God isn't just some corporate leader of people, some ruler in the skies, some corporate leader of people, you know. He doesn't just look down on us as a great big human race, but as individual people. And he wants each one of us to have an individual relationship with him. That's why we can call him Abba Father. The word Abba in Aramaic, and it is closely translated just to the word Daddy. It's a common term that young children use to address their fathers, and it signifies that close, intimate relationship of a father with a child, as well as a childlike trust that a young child puts in their daddy. And that's the relationship that God wants to have with us. He wants to be somebody that we want to spend time with, that we want to talk to, and he wants to be someone who can share with us in the ups and the downs of our lives' journeys. But unfortunately, and I'm sure for some of us here today, fatherhood does not conjure up loving, fond, happy memories. A high percentage of the population live in one-parent family situations, which tends on the whole to be with the mother. So for some, it's very difficult to relate to a loving, reliable, consistent Heavenly Father when you haven't had that experience with your earthly father. Now, I've had a pretty complicated life, I think. Well, people tell me, when I tell them, when I was younger, growing up. Okay, my mum and dad were obviously, original mum and dad were obviously married. And my real dad died about 2.5 years ago. He left my mother when I was 7, and my younger brother was 1. Okay, and as happens, you know, my mother then remarried again to my second father, and he was a lovely man. They were married for 18 months, and he died at 46 of a heart attack. Okay? My third father started off a really nice guy, and then became an abuser, not only of my sister and my mother, and not only, well, I won't go into that anyway. Okay? And my mother's fourth husband, still alive now, lovely man, been married for 17 years, and they're really happy, which is great. So you can see I've got some empathy with people who can't understand about a loving earthly father. And it can be really, really difficult, can't it? Really, really hard. You know, and trying to realize that God can be something different than what our earthly fathers are. Because God is a loving God. He is kind. He is reliable. and he is consistent. And I have proved that through that experience that I was talking about earlier. If you here this morning can relate to a loving, caring father, then that is absolutely brilliant. I don't want you to feel guilty that you've had it too good, because that is the way it's supposed to be. But if you can't, then just listen to this illustration from James Hewitt entitled, Your Father Knows the Way. When I was a small boy growing up in Pennsylvania, we would often visit my grandparents who lived 9 miles away. One night a thick fog settled over the hilly countryside before we started home. And I remember being terrified and asking if we shouldn't be going even slower than we were. Mother said gently, Don't worry, your father knows the way. You see, Dad had walked that road when there was no petrol in the war. He had ridden that route on his bicycle to date Mother. And for years he had made those weekly trips back to visit his own parents. How often, when I can't see the road of life, I have felt that familiar panic rising in my heart, and I've heard the echo of my mother's voice. Don't worry, your father knows the way. God, as our Heavenly Father, knows the way that we are going to, and he travels that with you, caring for you, guiding you, providing for you, and sustaining you. Many times in my own life, I have proved the love of our Heavenly Father. I have proven his consistency, and that has inspired my love for him. And God has that same love, that same consistency for all of us, for all mankind. For when we accept God as our Heavenly Father, we are adopted into his family. And we sing a song, don't we? Is it I'm a New Creation? And one of those songs you sing, that we are adopted into his family. Family therapist Paul Faulkner tells of a man who set out to adopt a troubled teenage girl. One would question the father's logic. The girl was destructive, disobedient, and dishonest. One day she came home from school and ransacked the house for money. By the time he arrived, she was gone, and the house was in a shambles. Upon hearing her actions, friends urged him not to finalize the adoption. Let her go, they said. After all, she's not really your daughter. His response was simple. Yes, I know, but I told her that she was. And God has told all of us in his word that we are his. Isaiah 43 says, Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a spirit of adoption? Do you sense that God is your Heavenly Father? Do you think of him and address him as your dear father, your daddy, if you like? If we can't give a positive answer to this, it may be because he's not our spiritual father. Therefore, we need to heed the words of John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So maybe some of us need to receive him as our Heavenly Father this morning. But with this intimacy with our Heavenly Father comes a warning this morning. Yes, we have to have a close personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. But we must also be very, very careful that we are not too familiar. Because our Heavenly Father is still the first cause. He's still the Creator. He's still the Almighty. He's still the Rock. He's still the Master. He's still Yahweh. He's still the Omnipotent One. He's still the Preserver of all things. So it's about getting that balance right. It's about closeness with respect. A relationship with God that develops closeness need not destroy that respect. God is unique and set apart in character. And as we pray to him, we recognize that we are not communicating with an equal. Rather, we come before a being who is unequaled in this universe. Whatever awe we give to anyone in this world in a prominent position is nothing compared to the respect that is owed to God. So a healthy sense of respect sets the right tone as we begin our conversations with God. Now back in the Old Testament, people were so worried about keeping the sovereignty of God that they were careful never to repeat his covenant name of Yahweh. So they used the name Jehovah. This way they kept their respectful distance from God. But in the New Testament, Jesus calls God Father directly. And this was an amazing revolution because of the way Jewish theology stressed the transcendence and the sovereignty of God, even to go as far as to change his name to avoid familiarity. Jesus helps us to not become too familiar with God with the start of the Lord's Prayer in the opening words, Our Father who art in heaven. Father stresses God's eminence. He is involved in our lives and to be approached as Abba or even Daddy. Who art in heaven stresses God's transcendence. He surpasses all that is human. He is sovereign and he is reigning and he is our Father but also our King. But God wants us to love him. We can affectionately call him dear Father or perhaps even Daddy. But we must do this with a deep sense of wonder and reverence. I once heard a lovely say that God is almighty, but he's not almighty. There is a difference, isn't there? He is almighty, but he's not almighty. And I think if we always bear that in mind in our conversations with God, we'll keep that level of required respect. When Jesus called God Father, he helped us to worship God with more understanding. He also helped us to be better fathers on earth as he showed how his heavenly Father cared for his children. All of us have been born into a natural family. Most of us have experienced human fathers, but God also wants us to experience a heavenly Father. He wants to be our Father now and forever. He wants to make up for what a human father did or could not do. He wants to build on all the good experiences that we may have had with our earthly fathers to help us know that we are fully loved and cared for by him. So no matter where you have been or how discouraged you may feel about earthly fathers, God is our heavenly Father. He is ready and waiting to help you to become sons and daughters in his glorious eternal family. Because regardless of our earthly circumstances, we all need to be loved by someone. There is a Spanish story of a father and son who had become estranged. The son Paco ran away, and the father set off to find him. He searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. The ad read, Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you. Your father. On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up, looking for forgiveness and looking for love from their fathers. And ultimately, that is all our Heavenly Father wants to give each one of us. Love and forgiveness. Maybe today you feel estranged from your Heavenly Father. Then come to him and receive his wonderful love and forgiveness for yourselves. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Father God, as we leave your church and go into your world, may we take your love with us. May we take your witness with us. May we take your strength with us. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with us now and forevermore. Amen.